of somebody that you really need to be listening to. This is so incredibly important to where we are. Thank you to the Epigenic Whisperer sharing this. This is enormous, he says. Dr. James Lyons Weiler, I believe. Coronavirus research shows unsafe epitopes that will cause autoimmune disease in human subjects. That's just one part of this. Now, I decided I'm going to go through most of this and play this for you. Here, I have the full video. All this will be in the show notes when I'm done. And then I'm going to go over the other two things that are on top of this that we just talked about that suggest, these are from experts as well, by the way, suggesting things like a fatal response to up potentially 70% of people who take this, or infertility to a high amount of people who take this. These are from experts. This isn't some fringe conspiracy theory YouTube channel. Take a listen to what this guy has to say.
I can condemn the politicization of your health. The politicization and the commoditization of the American citizen's health, Pennsylvania citizen's health, is not a commodity. It is neither a monetary commodity, nor is it a political commodity. And shame on you if you have changed your position or held on to a position in the light of evidence from data from studies that tell you that your position is wrong simply because you disagree with President Trump. Shame on you. You're hurting people, you're hurting society, you're destroying businesses. Shame on you. Now that I got that out, I can talk about some science.
I'm really glad that he did that, by the way, because what he's saying there is not a one-sided thing. Now, I think it's clear that he does have political opinions, like everybody alive does, but he wasn't saying that about one side or the other. He was saying that there are people that are ignoring facts because they don't like somebody who's in position. Nobody can disagree with that. And understand, that's happening on both sides. You have people that are ignoring information because they don't like Donald Trump, and then you got people who are ignoring false information that are pretending is real or ignoring just false issues in these things because they believe in that person. And that happens on either side of this conversation. Politics are warping the brains of people in this country. And what he's saying is that there are experts, there are scientists, there are health professionals who are ignoring the facts because of their political opinions. Exactly like what anybody honest has been telling you. Now listen to what this guy has to say. This is outrageous.
Okay. Historically, vaccines for coronaviruses have had a terrible safety record. There is a condition known as disease enhancement due to pathogenic priming. And this was discovered in vaccinated animals in past vaccine safety studies. When they did conduct vaccine safety studies on animals on coronavirus vaccines, where vaccinated animals got more serious disease after being vaccinated, and then when they acquired an infection from the wild-type vaccine, more animals got serious infections, serious conditions, and more animals died.
You know what that is like? It's like the vaccine interference discussion that we just talked about in regard to the flu vaccine, giving you a potentially 36% higher chance of infection, including other coronaviruses, which is the study the Pentagon did before the COVID-19 issue came around. But of course, we pretend like that doesn't apply. Probably because, in my opinion, these things lead to more illness, which can be abused by the people in power. And that's, by the way, pretty much exactly what he's getting into here. But he's telling you that's the case. Now, by the way, I want to point out as well that this is in Pennsylvania, yet it's the reason you have these other headlines, because the only people seemingly in the world that want to point this out are people in other countries outside of this country. Ask yourself why you didn't see this on the mainstream media.
In my peer-reviewed research paid for the citizens of the United States of America through donations to IPAC, prior to the development of any COVID vaccines, I found that all but one of the proteins in the SARS-CoV-2 virus have what we call unsafe epitopes, right? Which are parts of proteins that are capable of causing immune conditions, autoimmune conditions, and immune responses against proteins in our own body. This is peer-reviewed research, and I'll be happy to provide the press with a reference after this. About a third of the proteins that might be targeted by autoimmune conditions by SARS-CoV-2 viral proteins, either through infection or injection, target the immune system. But from the start, it looks like this virus has evolved the ability to attack our immune system as part of its disease-causing capacity. This pathogenic priming, I predicted in my study, which parts of the human body would likely be most affected by pathogenic priming. And now studies by medical physicians, by medical teams around the world, are confirming my predictions. This is not simply a respiratory virus with respiratory symptoms. This affects many tissues across the body, and there's some grave concern if you're going to get infected. But where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed my study with a plea to please consider taking out those unsafe epitopes.
So good for him for calling them out, because that's a paper trail, right? He can prove that he gave them this information and that they knew that these things were unsafe and they left them in anyway. What he's essentially saying is that the chances are very high that this will identify the very same, that basically boils down to your body. This is hurting your body, right? You are ultimately training your body to attack itself in a very simplistic way. There's a lot more going on here, but the fact that it's possible. He's telling you that this is possible. This is something that he tells them, I see this being likely. And they just ignore it. And in fact, not only ignore it, but they rush it out even more.
Your body has 500,000 peptides throughout your life. The coronavirus has something like 28 proteins. What's the probability that there's going to be many proteins that match at small segments of immunogenic epitopes? Very high. We now have results from front-runner vaccines from these hybrid trials where they skipped over the animals' trials. FDA, in it absolutely ignoring safety margin, in a stunning decision, decided to allow Moderna and other vaccine manufacturers to skip the most important step in vaccine safety for coronavirus, which is the animal trials, to see if there's pathogenic priming, to see if this particular vaccine or that particular vaccine might cause serious problems through pathogenic priming. It's unbelievable that the FDA made this decision, and you know we made this specific recommendation that they do that in my study that I published. All right. Now what they're doing is they even said, well, we don't have to do phase one human trials and phase two human trials separate. We're going to combine them together because this is such a horrible epidemic. We need to get the science done fast.
You realize how stupid that, I mean, again, so they're saying, we're just going to combine the two, so you're going to have one then, right? Like, don't worry, we're still having trial one and trial two, we're just doing them at the same time. Like, they're just playing fast and loose with definitions, with everything. That's one trial. They're skipping other trials is what it's just a manipulation, all of this is. And the same thing that he's upset with right here is the absurdity of saying that we are skipping safety trials for your safety. Because that's what it boils down to. This is so dangerous that we have to rush this out. It's illogical when you brush just past the surface.
They're missing out on another opportunity to find safety signals, but they found them anyway. At the beginning of this time period where I'm speaking, I said to remember the percentage 21%. The only single data point, the datum that we have on what percentage of patients exposed to a coronavirus vaccine have had serious adverse events is from the Moderna trial, and that number is 21%. 21% of people are having serious adverse events from this vaccine.
21%. That first of all, recognize that that's not what we were told by these companies, and the fact that these are 21% of people, a huge amount of people, more people that are in fact, I mean, think about the numbers in regard to COVID are getting sick. More people are going to be affected by this vaccine than people who are actually getting COVID-19, and they're going to hurt people with this. Right? That's what we're talking about here. 21% are going to have serious adverse, you understand that death is considered a serious adverse reaction? But we're talking about, I mean, even the mainstream is now saying, get ready, these are going to be tough months. There's going to be lots of severe issues, but don't worry, it's for your safety. It's good, so do it anyway. But it's not, though. So, I mean, ask yourself what this expert is seeing if he's disagreeing and telling you, no, it's not, do it anyway. It's not, yeah, it's bad, but you need it because it's safe. He's telling you the opposite of that, that not only should you not take this, but you need to fight against the government that is making sure that everybody's forced to or pressured to. It's incredible. This isn't some anti-science fringe conspiracy theorist YouTuber. This is a scientific expert. This is a person who is telling you that he's done the research, he's looked at the science, and the science doesn't tell you what they're telling you it does. Listen to the experts.
In that trial. The other ones haven't published their data yet to the point where we can understand that. Like Dr. New said, they're supposed to be transparent. But, you know, I'm really upset as a professional scientist and as a citizen that our public health officials have not given you the good word. The good word that it is now absolutely mundane routine medical care to take care of a patient with coronavirus. It is absolutely known that you should not put them on the full ventilator pressure. That's what killed most people in New York City.
Can you believe that these things are being stated as absolute? They are absolute fact, and I've been telling you this from the beginning. The fact that this is, I mean, the idea that he can state that it's total mundane, the treatment of these people is now in and out. It's not real, and this is always how it's generally been. It's because there was a lot of other things happening were being misrepresented and manipulated. He's telling you it's mundane treatment, that it's as well as the fact that, I mean, it's just, hold on, I'm already, hold on.
As a professional scientist and as a citizen, that our public health officials have not given you the good word. The good word.
Intubators. I forgot what it was for a second, but that one really gets under my skin, guys. The fact that it's been this known to where this expert can stand up and tell you as a matter of fact that killed most of those people in New York, that what they're doing with these intubators is hurting people, and yet they still do it now. That they've continued to do it ever since Dr. Riedel, I believe it was Riedel, spoke out and said, we're not doing the right thing here. We're hurting people. And they kept doing it. And they're still doing it. What does that show you?
That it is now absolutely mundane routine medical care to take care of a patient with coronavirus. It is absolutely known that you should not put them on the full ventilator pressure. That's what killed most people in New York City. It is absolutely known that corticosteroids now take care of the autoimmune-like conditions that people are experiencing that I predicted in my study. So those high incidences of autoimmunity from a treatment, not a vaccine, a treatment, a medical treatment, they're now routinely used across the United States. It's also known how to treat the incidental coagulopathy, which only can be thought about as an outcome of something wrong with the viral proteins being in the body. And just this morning, I read in the journal The Lancet, their position is that antivirals are generally effective against coronavirus.
That's a big deal. Because if that's coming from the very people we're supposed to be listening to, and they're telling us essentially what translates to the vaccine is now unnecessary, why is nobody talking about that? Now, I'm not saying that's a guarantee that that's what it should mean, but the point is what they're saying is that there is other treatments, and adding that in, and effective ones, and adding that into the conversation that this is about the same as the flu, if not far less, then that is unnecessary to push out a vaccine. But that's what they do not want you to think, because obviously the vaccine is a huge part of all this. I'm wondering whether it's even just simply about the surveillance, the aspect of getting everyone in this country to be surveilled for 2 years, and continuing the technocratic push and the contact tracing and all this stuff to drive out the Great Reset, right? The idea that there could be something involved in this that's more nefarious, the discussion of nanobots and all this stuff, it's not something that should be dismissed. But we don't even need that. Right, everything he's talking about is enough. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. Understand? I'm just saying that it's right in front of us. What's literally happening is enough to understand that we're being deceived.
COVID-19. The public needs to understand that with the viral proteins being in the body. And just this morning, I read in the journal The Lancet, their position is that antivirals are generally effective against coronavirus, COVID-19. The public needs to understand that tens of thousands and soon hundreds of thousands of medical doctors around the world are going to join me and others in condemning the politicization of coronavirus and public health in general, including vaccines. We have to understand that, you know, we're going to come together with joint resolutions about this political state to stand down on politicization of public health. Stand down on it, even if you're a public health official, right? You need to be a scientist first and a qualified one at that to conduct public health, and you can't just regurgitate what the CDC has to say, All right, so now we have really good news. Why do we not hear good news on treatments from our public health officials? Shame on them. They're keeping people in fear. Intentionally. Why? It's fair enough to speculate that perhaps after the election we will see a disappearance of their concern over coronavirus. So those people who would like to add coronavirus vaccine mandates to our society's response have to understand a few things. First of all, it's a disproportionate response given the rate of mortality. If you're not over 70 years old, you have less of a chance of dying of coronavirus than you do from influenza, thank goodness.
Please let that sink in. As a matter of fact, under 70, you have a less chance of dying from this than you do from influenza. But sure, let's let them destroy our economy, destroy your business, force you to destroy your mouth, and put you more at risk, and wear something that you shouldn't be obligated to wear, forcing you to go in your home, isolating from your family, destroying what you understand as life, based on something that is less dangerous than the flu. Just like we've been saying from the very beginning.
However, if you want to mandate coronavirus vaccines, understand that you're going to if you're a medical physician, hear me well, if you want to reject 21% of your patients, and that's a low number, that's a lowball number, if you want to kick 21% of your patients out of your practice, be my guest, those patients are probably better off without you. So the estimates of coverage that are required to be needed to protect the population from vaccine herd immunity are that, and this comes from Paul Off at the Children's Hospital over in Philadelphia, efficacy rates as high as 50% and coverage rates as high as 75%. The Pew report from the other day, a poll says that 51% of the population do not want this vaccine. They won't take it. Not just that they won't be the first to line up, they won't take it. How are we going to get to 75% with only 51%? Well, we...
Tell me in the chat, if you're willing to take this vaccine, give me a 1. If you're going to refuse it, give me a 2. Let's see what the consensus is in the chat. How about if you're going to wait to see what happens, give me a 3. I think we're pretty clear on what the information, I'd be surprised with what's showing up in here, but this is what he's saying. Most people do not want this. Not that they'll wait, not that they're going to wait, you know, that they'll take it after everybody, that they simply won't ever, period. And his point is, well, if it takes 70% and only 50 are going to get it, well, that's a guarantee that we won't ever reach it, just like I've been saying. So they know that's going to happen, so then they can point to it and say it's your fault we didn't get there, and that's why we're going to be forever under a COVID lockdown. This is self-fulfilling prophecy. They know this is what's happening.
We need a much more efficacious coronavirus vaccine. It is imperative that we do not discount prior immunity in the population from prior exposure to coronavirus-like viruses or to coronavirus itself. And if you look at the infection case...
Before we get to that point, don't miss what he just said right there. He's talking about people having immunity to this from prior exposure. And basically giving a nod to the idea that this was circulating in the U.S. long before people said it was in China, as well as other places in the world. In some cases, dating all the way back to 2013 from frozen samples, what we just talked about the other day. Right. This is the indication that this has been around from before, whether that was an intentional thing, whether that was a nanobot virus mimicking issue, or any number of these possibilities floating around. The point is that at the end of the day, the numbers don't add up, and we're being lied to about the narrative that they want us to hold on to. And this is an honest individual who's got the courage to tell you the reality. Now listen to what he has to say next.
In the population from prior exposure to coronavirus-like viruses, or to coronavirus itself. And if you look at the infection case, the infection fatality rate, not the case fatality rate, where you get a diagnosis, you take the symptomatics and the asymptomatics and put it together, the statistic that was published in May was less than influenza.
So again, he's pointing this out, right? And this is from the stats of the people that we're supposed to be listening to. I don't understand how we're still here. I don't understand how all these people in the media and all these people listening to them are unable to think for themselves. The information is there, and I've been showing it to you from the start.
The press has learned that, yes, we're going to have a problem with lung-sustained antibodies, but we've known that for coronaviruses from 1990. It's not new. The press has reported that. But the press now, and thank you for doing this, has reported that we have memory B cells and memory T cells in response to coronavirus. So our bodies will remember how to be immune to these coronaviruses without having to carry around antibodies to everything we've ever been exposed of, expressing those proteins in our body all the time. That would be metabolically unsustainable. It's not how human bodies work. It's not how mammalian bodies work.
So recognize what he's telling you right there, that the entire narrative or so the construct they're giving you for why and how this all works is a fabrication. The idea that we need to have all these antibodies, that's not how this functions. The point is that a body is able to, the idea, even Tedros from the UN has openly said this, or from the WHO has openly said this, that the idea that you get immunity from anything but a vaccine is not true. He's lying to you. How, I mean, it takes 10 seconds of research to understand that human beings get the concept for vaccine technology comes from the idea that you gain immunity from having a sickness and then getting over it. The same reason that I got the chickenpox as a kid. I didn't get a vaccine. You got the chickenpox and then you got over it and then you never got it again. Why? Because you gained immunity from it. That is the point. So what he's telling you there is that this construct they're creating where you need a vaccine for every single thing that you ever come in contact with is what they're building, not the truth. It only takes your ability to research this stuff, to do your due diligence, and you will find an endless stream of people just like him who are medical professionals, who have the credentials, that are telling you the truth.
So this mystery of public health officials not working to reduce concern can only be seen as political, and please join me in condemning that. Our reaction to coronavirus has already been worse than the virus itself. A terrorist could never succeed as well at shutting down businesses with a bomb in the United States, as we have by this ridiculous, inaccurate testing. Dr. Hsing-Hang Lee from Milford, Connecticut, published a study that showed that the reference samples that are used to validate the COVID-19 test, 30% were false positives. When he sequenced the PCR product, 40% were false negatives. What are we doing with PCR testing? And if you test everyone in a population with a CT scan, you're going to find cancers in everyone, and you're going to do biopsies on everyone at a rate where you're going to end up doing a lot of harm.
It's almost like we've heard that somewhere before, right? It's almost like we've had 1,000 discussions about why the PCR test is a obvious manipulation, or had discussions about how the PCR test is literally creating the pandemic that wasn't, just like the epidemic that wasn't in 2007, I believe, with the whooping cough. Date could be incorrect. This is not new. Anybody honest has been telling you this from the beginning, and he says that he's screaming at you right now. So the PCR test is ridiculous. There's false negatives and false positives, just like we've been telling you. Except the media only wants to point to the false negatives to make you say, well, you need the test, but even if you get a negative test, it doesn't mean you're safe. Right? But if you get it, you're sick for sure, go lock down. This is the truth. This is the unvarnished truth, and he's straight up telling you this. And if the only reason they're continuing to use a test like this is to guarantee the leeway to continue to sell the narrative.
Every person that has a false positive rate, when the infection rates are low, and it's something like 2% active infection, maybe, maximum, per year with coronavirus across the United States right now, we're going to have far more false positives, even if the false positive rate is just 1%. What does that lead to? It leads to contact tracing of those 14 people that you saw in the mall the other day. You're shutting down those 14 businesses, bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb, shutting down our economy. That's cruel. And then on top of it, we're bringing quaternary ammonium compounds into schools. I'm going to spell a name for you, H-R-U-B-E-C, Terry Hrubek. The H is not pronounced, Terry Hrubek. She did studies of these cleaners that we're bringing into the schools and we're spraying all over the schools every day or every week to fight coronavirus. She found in mice neural tube defects to the rate of 15% of the pups.
15.